name that I love, because it makes me think of that expensive seat up there. We get an overview of everything.
Exactly.
It makes sense. It's perfectly. Yeah. Perfect marketing.
Yeah, thank you for having me back.
What's new with Skybox this year?
Well, we've got a couple of new things that are really interesting. One, we introduced a new capability called threat-centric vulnerability management earlier this year. And what that is a way of looking at vulnerabilities from the perspective of what are the attackers out there using, what things are exploitable, what things have been exploited out in the wild, and what things are potentially going to be attacked next. And so we take information from the dark web, all that chatter that is out there about what vulnerabilities might be used in particular exploits, and we incorporate that into our vulnerability prioritization. So we bring it up to the level where a security person really can see that there's some vulnerabilities they have in their environment they should do something about before the exploit is out there.
See, I like this approach because this reminds me of physical security, old school. We're going to do some personal protection. We go out, we check out the neighborhood, talk to the neighbors, what's going on around here. We get a feel for the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And then we put some security into it and the principle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I see a lot of, hey, our software identifies a thing. And here's a flag and our software blocks this. I don't see recon. It's kind of like recon.
I think it's
not being done so much, right?
Well, people may not realize. You know, you talk about this dark web intelligence. It has gathers a lot of interest. But there's good information there.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of talking back and forth that happens about exploits that have been successful or that they're working on or sharing of information.
Right.
And if you pick up on that and use that, you get that, let's say, 2, 3, 4 weeks advance notice. So you want to be able to start addressing things before they show up in the New York Times.
Brilliant. Dorothy, I know you're digging this dark. Look at her smile. She loves it. She's a dark web fanatic. She loves it.
Well, both sides. It's obviously fascinating to see the developments. We look at Silk Road 1.0 and 2.0, for example, that Christopher Tarbell, former FBI agent, and his team took down out of the New York FBI office with the help, obviously, of many subject matter experts. How do you translate all that rich data that you're collecting into practical workflows for your clients?
Yeah, good question. So we do that by, number one, we create a model of a organization's attack surface. So we take in information about their network topology, about all their assets, about those vulnerabilities, and then we take in threat intelligence as well. So we put all of that together, and we've got a really good understanding of all of the ways an organization can be attacked, and then we can prioritize that by which assets they really care about. So that kind of comprehensive model allows our security analytics to really do their job and pull out those things that are important for someone to deal with.
Excellent.
Now, who's your client? I mean, what are the types of clients, and what are you protecting?
Sure. Well, first of all, I'd say that our clients are all hypersensitive about security for one reason or another. They could be large banks. They could be companies that where their services are completely dependent. Let's say on their the businesses that they run through cloud environment infrastructure that they want to protect, and so they may have a lot of regulatory issues as well.
Yeah.
So they need to be compliant with regulatory standards. So I would say most of our customers tend to be medium to large enterprises, heavy on the large enterprise side.
Right.
They're government organization, banks, insurance companies, large retailers, pharmaceutical companies that want to protect their assets.
So these guys get it.
They get it.
And it's not a hard sell.
No, I mean, they know they've got problems and they've got business
to
protect.
This is where I diverge on these things. If you're a bank, oh boy, I think I probably need security, right? It's a no-brainer, right? Although you just said that encryption was only recently required for some organizations, which is kind of weird. How do we get this diligence a little lower, down to the medium and small businesses? I know they can't afford it yet. But can we get the awareness, can we push that awareness down to them so they can at least turn the coffin or something?
I think that's happening, but I wanted to share one thing. So we think of those big companies as all being, they are very security aware.
Right.
But I know that just recently, within the last couple of months, we heard about a Fortune 50 company we shall not name that was still using Excel spreadsheets to categorize their vulnerabilities. Okay, it's a little concerning to me think of your bank account potentially being secured by somebody who's managing with the Excel spreadsheet. So I think there still needs to be an awareness even at high levels of you've got to move on to tools that can do a lot of this analysis of tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of vulnerabilities and do it immediately so you can use the information. As you push that down, though, I think we're already starting to see that. I mean, the news of the latest set of, for example, ransomware attacks was public knowledge everywhere and in the news.
That's true.
For any security person, big company, small company, to really understand. I think getting the tools to them often involves making sure they can use it in whatever environment they have. Let's say it's if they're using cloud infrastructure, because smaller company, mid-size enterprise, they're moving a lot of their workloads to the cloud. And that may be the point at which they say, well, how am I going to secure that? How do I get visibility over those resources? And do I really want to, you know, rely on my cloud provider for that?
How would you rank the threat landscape? So the bad guys on the outside trying to hack in versus the lack of, for example, identity protection and encryption versus now the increasing number of IoT devices. How does your strategy team or your client coverage team help clients to rank those risks?
Sure. Good question. Well, first of all, we definitely see that most, you know, there have been various analyst reports that have backed this up over years. Most breaches tend to be related to security controls that the organization actually has in place. Let's say it could be misconfiguration of something that they already have in place,
right,
or not following or reviewing the information in a timely manner. So, you know, if most of those breaches are due to security controls not being managed, then one of the big issues is management. It's really taking those tens or dozens or whatever of firewalls or the vulnerability information that you have from multiple sources and getting control of it. So that's definitely a key issue. Most exploits still come down to a small set of vulnerabilities. Yes, you could have exploits across the board, but the highest profile ones, or that, you know, that 80-20 rule still applies, where you can solve a big chunk of your problem by paying attention to a few vulnerabilities. The challenge is knowing which ones they are.
Yes. Now, I happen to notice, my keen powers of observation, that you're a female. And in this business, that's kind of a rare thing.
It may be, but hopefully that's changing.
Well, I want it to change. I have two female co-hosts in cyber, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really important. Here's what I worry about. I worry about Michelle Cobb, who has a great product, eventually not having enough people in her company to run it because there's such a shortage, right? And how do we get 50% of the population more interested in cybersecurity, right?
Yeah.
My son's getting his PhD in math. Max. His name's Max. Max. By the way, Max, if you're watching, listen to me. They got to get into security in cyber. And he's like, oh, I don't know if that interests me, blah, blah, blah. So, Max, it's all math, right? So even the younger generations who could get into it, he's certainly capable, I can't get his interest up. What would you say to people to join the cause? Because
certainly,
I, you know, for the million-person shortage here and more in Europe and overseas, I see us getting to a point where we stop almost. You know, does it concern you for hiring?
Well, I would say I don't see the concern on the hiring on our side, just because we do open up our hiring, you know, and we focus on making sure that we've got, you know, broad outreach to everybody who we need to get in our organization. But what I would say is making, number one, I think that cybersecurity is already becoming a more attractive place for anybody to get into, because it's exciting, the profile of the issues, and understanding that they're really business issues. It's not just technical issues. These are really heavy-hitting business issues.
Yeah.
Really attracts a variety of people. So it may be those who have, you know, the IT and computer science backgrounds, computer engineering backgrounds, but also those who really understand things from a legal mindset, law enforcement, risk and policy, compliance. We need a wide range of people with different skills. And as you said, we can't avoid and overlook half the population when we're looking for employees. So if they companies can do more to make sure that they are getting to the right networking groups. There's different, of course, groups to make sure they've got a very diverse group of candidates.
Well, I feel better, because I know there's a shortage, and but you seem to feel that We're keeping pace. We're okay so far.
I think that we need to do more.
We do
know
more,
we
but it's not a crisis mode yet or anything.
I don't know. I'd say when you talk about only 10% of security positions are filled by women, that's pretty much at a crisis level.
Well, that part
needs
is,
it needs to be addressed immediately. But I do see organizations and large companies taking steps to change that.
Excellent. Skybox Security, what does Michelle Cobb worry about at night? What keeps her awake?
Certainly. And this will get to, I'd say, another issue that we're dealing with right now, and we're actually we're announcing our new capabilities in terms of the cloud security side. So one of the things that worries me is I've heard security professionals really say, hey, we're moving our workloads off to the cloud. That cloud provider is going to handle the security of our assets in the cloud. So I've taken this off my hands. I don't have to worry about this.
Right.
That is a big mistake. You know, I know that certainly cloud infrastructure providers are doing what they need to do. But you know, security professionals are still responsible for their assets in the cloud.
Right.
And so they need to make sure that they have access, they have visibility to those workloads that they're moving, that they can check policy compliance across what are now, you know, even more granular security, you know, security policies like micro-segmentation and checking to make sure that things are tagged properly. And so we do that. That's one of the things that that we've incorporated in our product, is this very wide view of your physical assets, your virtual private clouds, as well as your other cloud infrastructure assets. You've got this complete view of access issues, yeah, or compliance issues in the cloud.
Very interesting. It reminds me of physical security models. Most guards used to be in-house back in the day, and they outsourced them. Outsourced, and now it's all contract security. Now that model's changing. That's going to, I'm going to hire a robot, or I'm going back in-house.
True.
So
things change.
Outsourcing your cyber is going, it's very interesting. Michelle Cobb, skyboxsecurity.com, one of my favorite interviews. Thanks for coming on Security Guy
TV.
Thank
you very much.
I appreciate it. Here, Black Hat 2017. We'll be back in a few minutes with one more interview. Or maybe we'll have lunch. Maybe we'll go have some lunch. Either way, stay tuned. All right, thanks.